Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686, the number one rated Phil Henry Show. And we're going to get to the reason why so many people, an increasing number of people, tune into this radio show every day. The fun, the frivolity, the brilliant satire of this program in just a moment. But first, for those of you that did not win tickets to see my show live at the Museum of Television and Radio, you still have another chance. You can see the show broadcast via closed circuit in the museum gallery. Now, you won't get into the theater, but you'll still get to see the show live. That means even if there are seats available, even if people who showed up or, you know, who won tickets but didn't show up, even if those seats are empty, you're still going to have to sit out back in the garage area with a closed circuit. I'm just kidding. I have no idea. But I just have this frightening feeling that people who won tickets won't show up for whatever reason. I also understand that other tickets for the show are reserved for museum members. Now, to be kind, I don't know what that means. In other words, museum members, does that mean Norm Pattis and his pals? And how many of them are going to show up to watch me do my show? Right? Mike's writing down the number right now. Apparently, many, he says. How do you know the museum members are going to show up to watch me do my show? Oh, many people have expressed interest, including Mr. Pattis. Oh, great. Okay. He wants to see how a really good show is done. Well, all right. Well, in any event, I don't know how many of those people show up. So, in other words, if some of those museum members don't show up, we got a whole block of empty seats, and then all my listeners are sitting there, and those seats we could have gave away. And then we have however many people sitting out there at the closed circuit thing. But let me finish reading this thing, so I won't be judgmental. You guys take this for what it means. You can see the show broadcast via closed circuit in the museum gallery. You won't get into the theater, but you'll still get to see the show live. The first 250 listeners to line up at the museum on November the 2nd will get into the gallery to see the show via closed circuit. There will be no lines permitted before 2 p.m., but the first 250 listeners in line will see the broadcast. We will have mounted police to keep order. If anyone does get out of line, their skulls will be split, but I'm sure you understand. So come down, line up, get to see my show. Thank you. Now, I know that many of you tune in each day to listen to me break into many of the skits and scenarios that we do. Many of you tune in to hear what new take our variety of guests and characters will have on the day's news. But I want to start this program today on a personal note. I want to start the show today by saying I never really envied anybody that was married. Seriously, when I saw married people, I didn't envy them at all. Never, ever. Now, many of those feelings may come from my childhood, my youth. You know, because I do come from a home, you know, it was tough going for my mom and dad. They tried to make it work. They couldn't. They got 25 years out of it, and that was it. So I went through life. I left home at the tender age of 18. And I saw married people. And I was never, ever envious of them. Never. I used to think, there goes another couple of saps. Look at that poor sucker pushing that baby stroller. Oh, my God. Look at that poor sucker, you know, hooked up to that woman for the rest of his life. Look at that. Poor devil. I used to go out and play golf or cards with friends of mine that were married. And sure enough, at the end of the card game or the end of the golf match, we'd be sitting around having a few cocktails, if you'll pardon the expression, and one of them would generally say, I gotta check in with home. And I'd think, you poor fool. You got to check in with home, huh? Never said it out loud because these are friends of mine. And, yeah, I respect them and their lives. But they said, oh, I got to check in with my wife. Or there'd be a ball game to go to. There'd be a party to go to. There'd be a few drinks to be had at a bar someplace. There'd be a pool game, whatever. And you'd call up your married buddy. You want to come out? We're going to go here. Nah, I can't. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to go someplace with my wife. We're going to go pick up. I'm ironing a jock strap. I got to paint the new numbers on the curb. I actually got those excuses from a friend of mine once. You're ironing your jock strap, and what else are you doing, man? He's painting the new street number on the curb because they got the new stencil. And I would think, you poor bloody fool, you know. And then I met Maria. Cue any violin music you have, and if the ladies in the audience, I know you're beginning to tear up. Then I met my wife. Then I met Maria. And I got married just like that. Didn't take very long. Just like that, I got married. You want to know why? Because it wasn't about wanting to be married. It was about wanting to be with her. And the only way that I would, yes, and it was also about having a screw loose. But I wanted to keep this on a romantic, all right, let's be honest. I was nuts and I drank too heavily. That's why I married her. But seriously, you know, and so the only way I was going to be with her is if I married her, because that was, she made that very clear. You know, the only way you get some of this sweet thing, pal, is if you marry it. I said, okay, here goes nothing. And I did. And we will have been married 4 years this coming July. And let me tell you something, friend. It's a great, great life. Marriage is great. And it's also really, really hard. It's tough to do. When it's tough, I find it the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. Because I don't have just myself to worry about. I got somebody else I got to think about. I remember watching The Untouchables because I wanted to see if it was actually a good movie, and it wasn't. But there was a part in the beginning of it with Kevin Costner as he was talking to a cop. You know, they're sitting there. They're waiting to raid a beer warehouse, and his wife gives him a little note in his lunch, and he reads it, and he looks at the other cop. He says, "Are you married?" And the other cop says, "Yeah, I am." And he says, "It's nice being married, isn't it?" And that's how I feel. I like it. It agrees with me. It's cool, you know. But when it's going tough, man, when you have got problems like you just don't see eye to eye on stuff, it is the, it's, you know, it's really hard, man. It's hard to do. I'm having one of those days, in case you didn't guess. And, but anyway, I've heard people say that it's the fast lane to personal growth. You know, when I hear about that, you know, I start thinking Leo Buscaglia books, and I begin to, you know, I can't help myself. I dry heave. But it is. It's how you're going to get in this world. If you're going to figure this world out, you got to be with someone. You got to be married. You got to be in love. Sorry to break the news, but you have to be. Now, I don't care whether you're living with them or whatever. Why don't you grow a pair and marry her? That's probably the best thing you could do. But you got to be with somebody. You have to be in love. And that's how you're going to figure this world out. If you don't, you'll never have a handle on anything. As long as you live, you will never have a handle on anything. You got to be in love. It's just, I don't know why. I didn't invent it. I heard all the songs. I didn't believe them. It's true. But when it's tough, man, it's really, really tough. And don't let anybody kid you. So if you're considering it, I would say do it. It's fantastic. But when you hit the quicksand or some of the slick spots or some of that mud, Jim, don't say I didn't warn you. You know, because like I said, I'm having one of those days. I'm Regis Philbin. Now, anyway, I'm Frank Gifford. Fortunately, I haven't had any Frank Gifford days. And I never will, so long as I got Schaefer looking over my shoulder. No, thank God I haven't had any of those days, man. That's bad. No, I'm not having one of those kind of days. I'm just having one of those days where, you know, what I think is the absolute truth in life, the absolute carved in rock truth about life, she's just not going along with me. See, I got it. I understand it. I got it figured out. And she just won't agree. And I say to her, Maria, I got the world on a string. I got it all figured out. You don't see my way? Well, no, I don't. I have my own opinion. What, are you insane? So I got to go home tonight and talk her in, once again, try to talk her into seeing things my way. God! It's just not fair. I think she should go to some counseling. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Henry Show. Well, that's great. So I got people calling going, tell Phil I know a very good divorce lawyer. And have they considered a Catholic couples retreat? And what do you mean container day? That's a real good one. Melissa was just telling me she has marriage encounter. There is what? You know, some of these marriage therapists, I don't know where these cats pull some of their ideas out of, but I suspect I know, and it's pretty dark there. Anyway, they have, what was this idea? Container day. So in other words, your spouse gets to be in a container and you have to rock and gently sway them like they're a baby. Oh boy. Contain them for the day. Well, so anyway, getting back to my problems, and by the way, we will get to the comedy soon. 1-800-449-8666, or maybe not. You know, some days I just want to take some time for myself. Somebody got a problem with that? Step right up to bat. Let's go. Come on. Some days I want to take... This is my container day. What do you think of that? And you, the listener, must contain me. I know. Go ahead. Turn the dial. Whatever you want to do, this is what I'm here to do today. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to take this time for myself because it's been kind of a rough day for me. So Craig says to me, well, so what the hell are you guys having a problem with? I said, well, it's not really, we're not even fighting. But it comes down to this. As I said before I went into the break, I like being married. And I like being married to Marie. I can't say that I like being married because I wouldn't want to be married to anybody other than her. So that's why I'm married. I've met her. Now, we have, you know, there's a lot of things that make us a good couple. And they say that opposites attract. And it's probably no truer a sentiment than in our case. Because I'm real different from my wife. And one of the ways that I'm really different from her is that she's a very outgoing and gregarious woman. Maria is really just out there with people. She loves people. She's really friendly. She loves to spend time with people. She enjoys throwing parties. She enjoys going to lunches. She enjoys the business aspect of negotiation and interaction. She's always on the phone, man. That phone at our house, it don't stop ringing, Jim. I'm telling you, from the time I get up to the time I go to bed at night, it's ringing all the time because there's always people checking in and Maria's talking to them. Are they calling for me? Of course not. No one ever calls for me. These are all phone calls for it. No, I'm just kidding. But most of the calls, I'm sure the phone rings. Do you ever get a call, Phil? No. So I say opposite because that's the opposite of me. When I leave work, I go home, I close the front door, I throw sandbags up against it, I take the phone off the hook, and I really don't want to talk to anybody or be around anybody. And one of the reasons is I spend 3 hours of my life a day doing a very intensive kind of communication with people. I mean, you know, doing a talk show, it's just that. You're talking a lot. You are running your big fat mouth. And can you imagine getting off the air at 7 and then going to a place where you're expected to do even more talking, like a party, is really hard for me. Am I antisocial? I don't think so. I have friends, but I don't like hanging out. I don't dig going to places where I sort of know the people, but not quite. Maria's really comfortable in a room full of strangers because she can go around and glad hand. And, man, I tell you, I'm going to run my wife for freaking Congress. I'm going to run her for Congress. She'd be perfect. She's good looking. She's outgoing. She's bright. She, you know, she's white. She could be in the movie The Contender. Did you guys see that this weekend? She could be Joan Allen. Me, I'm not. I'm antisocial. So we went to a function on Saturday night, and this was a fundraiser. It was a charity thing. It's one of those deals where they asked you to get into a monkey suit, and I draw the line at monkey suits. I don't know how many guys here. Do you draw the line at a monkey suit, or will you get into one? I will not get into a monkey suit. I certainly will not get into a monkey suit that I just rented from Harry's monkey suit operation that some other dude was sweating into 48 hours before. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to do it. It's just not going to happen. I used to. I don't do it anymore. So what I wear is I wear a sports jacket with a tie, and I try to get as formal as I possibly can, but I ain't getting into a monkey suit. So we went to this thing, and it was very nice. And there was dancing, and there was dinner, and there was a auction, one of these silent auctions that they have for these things, and a whole lot of people that I barely know. Some of whom were very nice, some of whom I didn't talk to. I mean, not to say that they weren't nice, I just didn't talk to them. I didn't have the occasion to talk to them. But Maria was raring to go, man. And so we went and we had dinner, and we had the dancing, And there was a band playing, and they had testimonials, and they had a very nice evening. And finally, we were sitting with a couple, and she said to me, we've been invited to go over to so-and-so's house. Oh, yeah? For what? For coffee. I said, wait a second. I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. I don't do friendship. I don't do intimacy. Well, you don't have to go. But I said that, you know, my husband's stomach might be bothering him. She's making some excuse for me. Yeah, my stomach's bothering me as soon as you told me that. So I made my apologies to this couple. I said, you know, we're gonna pass. You know, something really lame and stupid like that, I said. And that was the extent of that. And really, I felt like a complete and utter stick in the mud, you know, because that's what I am. I'm a stick in the mud. I'm not a party animal. I used to be. 20 years ago, I closed any bar you want to talk about, okay? Today, I don't do that anymore, all right? Is it because I'm older and tired? Well, frankly, no. I'm married now. How many bars am I going to be able to close, A? And, you know, if I'm going to be closing bars, I'm going to be closing bars. I'm not going to go over to some cat's house for coffee. I'm just, that's not my thing. But in any event, I'm not saying this to say that she's wrong and I'm right. I'm just saying that that's the difference between us. And I said as we drove away, I said, you know, honey, your life with me, I'm afraid, is going to kind of be like this. I'm going to be a guy that just doesn't like to go out and do this kind of stuff that much. And she was mad. She was angry. Because she feels like she's got to change her life for me. And I said, no, you don't. You don't have to change your life for me. You can do all of this. You know, a lot of times women say to men, why don't you go out and play some golf or play some cards with your buddies, okay? Get the hell out of here. I feel almost like I got to say that to her. Why don't you go out with your girlfriends, you know? Why don't you guys go dancing, man? Why don't you guys go out and smoke some cigars and play poker? Whatever it is that you want to do, you know? Because I'm a real bore. Now, there may be some people you can find who would tell you that I'm not, but I pretty much am. I watch TV, I shoot pool, I sit on my rear end, I read, I like to take drives, I like to get in my car and like drive off into the backcountry of Ventura County. I like to pop a beer back every now and again, I like to watch football, and whatever, you know, big deal. What a thrill a minute this guy is, huh? And then the rest of the time I spend thinking, worrying, stressing, and getting an ulcer over this thing, this radio show that I do. Because I have, you know, I've got a life riding on it. And if you've been reading the news lately around here, especially in Los Angeles, few people are out of work, if you know what I mean. Hey, so in other words, this is a business that's very competitive and takes a lot of juice. So when I got off the air at 7 o'clock, I just ain't that kind of a guy. Well, she was upset with me, and I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all, you know? And what can I say to her other than this is how I am, you know? But I did say this. If you'll do me this favor, give me a little warning. I'll be happy to do whatever you want to do. Give me like 4 or 5 day leeway on this thing, okay? So I can prepare myself for going out to coffee at somebody's house that I barely know. Let me warm up to the idea. Maybe in the future it won't take 4 or 5 days, maybe 12 hours. And even if we get out of bed, you could say to me, okay, today's Saturday, yeah. I may want to go dancing tonight. Get ready. I go, okay, I'm getting used to the idea. It's the other thing. Like most men, not being comfortable in my body, except for Craig. Craig goes out dancing his ass off every night of the week. I don't like to dance all that much. And the music that my wife enjoys, I don't like. She likes dance music, if you know what I'm talking about. Some of it may be disco. Some of it may be old-time rock and roll, whatever. I don't get into that yet. So it's really painful for me to go out and try to dance to this stuff. So I've enrolled in Arthur Murray. I'm going to take ballroom dancing. I don't know. Maybe we could split the difference and go and listen to Montavani or something. But that's what that's about. And I feel bad. I feel bad for being such a slob. Okay, do we have to break? It's the Phil Hendry Show here. So this is what you get to see if you come to the museum, me talking about how I'm a bad dancer. It's the Phil Hendry Show. 800-44- Taylor went down the street to the Whole Foods and got a bag of garlic pressed pretzels or something. It's a health food store. Roasted garlic and herb pretzel nuggets. It's like, in other words, eating rabbit turd. And it's so wonderful. Thank you. No, it's great, except you need something to drink because pretzels are very dry. Thanks, Craig. Go to health food stores. You try to get chips and stuff, and they're just not the right kind of chip. You know, they're baked, and they have... We don't use salt. Really? What do you use? We use sea urchin extraction. Oh, okay. That's swell. So... I don't dance, and that's the problem that I have. Many men do fine. God bless you guys. I grew up so, so emotionally crippled. My sister did. She used to watch American Bandstand. She'd stand there and dance to American Bandstand. But I never, nobody, I just, I didn't, you know, and as a result, I can't move that part of my body very well. And, but I do make the effort when my wife says she wants to go out dancing. But consider this, if you would, for just a moment. Two experiences that I had dancing, taking Maria out dancing, because she likes to dance, and she's a damn good dancer, too. But me, I just, nothing ever happens good. We go to this one place near where we live. I go there with Maria, and I go, and the Swede tagged along as the third wheel, because he wanted to see what the scene was like. And we're dancing, and... I said, well, I'm going to go outside, and this is back in the day when I was, you know, puffing the weeds. I said, I'm going to go out and have a cigarette. I'm already in a scene that I'm not too comfortable with. I go outside to have a cigarette, and this dude I see out of the corner of my eyes moves over toward me. So then I didn't want to talk to anybody, and he looked like maybe he wanted to talk to me. So then I just turned, and before he got to where I was, I walked over to the other end of this area. It was like an outside patio, and continued to smoke, and sure enough... Out of the corner of my eye, peripherally, I see this guy coming over toward me again. And I'm thinking, I don't want to talk to this cat. I came out here to smoke a cigarette. I'm antisocial as it is. So I move over toward this bar area where they were serving some drinks. Sure enough, here comes this guy. And before I can move away from the guy's coming toward me, and all I hear is, how you doing, man? So I was cruised by this gay guy in a straight bar. That's my luck. And so that's bad experience. That's trauma number one. I was traumatized there. And then trauma number two came in Hawaii not too much later when Marie and I, she said to me, and rightfully so, she said, look it, Henry, you're taking me dancing tonight. I said, okay, baby, whatever you say. She says, I want to go next door here to this Hyatt Regency. They got a fantastic bar. It was on Kauai. And it's a gorgeous hotel. The Hyatt on Kauai is gorgeous. And we go in, and we go into the lounge there. It was a huge dance floor with the lit-up squares, you know, the multi-lit squares. Craig just gave me the thumbs up like, that's the best place to dance, man. You really like that, man? What are the lit-up squares tell you where to put your feet next? You know, maybe if I did that, I'd turn into some kind of a dancer. You know, they light those squares up on the floor. Just foot here, and now put the foot there. Put the foot over there. Simon says, put your foot here. Anyway, it's everything that I, and it was everything that I can't stand about dance scenes and bar scenes in general. First of all, there were only about 12 people in the place, and they were all kind of stupid people, and the music was disco, and when Maria said, let's go out on the dance floor, we were the only two people out there. So that's trauma number two. Now, I'll tell you, the last time that I ever danced with any wild abandon was when I saw Coco Taylor at this blues joint in Miami Beach back in 1995. She's a blues singer, and the band was great, and I actually stood on a table and didn't care how bad I looked because I was really digging the music. But I tell you, I haven't seen anything like that in a long time. Now, we just went and saw Jethro Tull, and you know how that went. I've explained that. That sucked beyond. So I'm not going out anymore, you know. But there I am, you know, and I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go into any fetish bar, you know, where you can get tied up and get 21 lashes on your 35th birthday or whatever it is, like a friend of mine who I know very well did. I said, you got to be putting me on. No, it's funny. My wife was standing there. Ha, 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 ha. They tied him up while some large, fat dominatrix beat him with a whip. This is kicks now, you know. I mean, it used to be like when my folks went out, they'd go to some cocktail lounge and listen to some dirty comic, you know? They'd go to some cocktail lounge and they'd listen to a stag record. Now when your folks go out, you kids will know, they go to a fetish bar where daddy takes off his shirt and gets whipped. for kicks. It's not, it's for kicks. So that's what I you have to expand yourself. That's what I mean about marriage. You have to expand yourself. You have to move in directions you've never moved before. You must grow. You have to. And that's my challenge. And as much as I don't want to do it, I got to do it. If I don't, then I don't have this wonderful woman in my life. Now, Schaefer's got a big smile on his face because he hasn't been challenged that way yet. Or have you? Don't want to say? Just a little bit. But sooner or later, you're going to come up against something that's kind of like a mountain you got to climb, you know? And it's not a horrible thing. It ain't like you got, you know, inoperable brain cancer or anything. That's just one of those things you got to deal with, man. Now, Melissa Morgan, who's going to be married in about a year, our, one of our associates on the show, her fiancé is a guy named Mark, and for kicks, she challenges him each and every day. Just for laughs, just to see how far this guy, this poor guy can go. All right, okay. So that's my problem, and that's why I, you know, I've got to do something about it before I get home tonight. People just tuning in now think, Viagra. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Then there's the other thing that I have to deal with, and that I very gladly do deal with, but I still got to deal with it. And that is the fact that I've got four stepkids, and I ain't their dad, I'm their stepdad. Which means that I do not have final say in decisions having to do with either their well-being or discipline or what have you. And that's fine. I shouldn't. I don't want to. They got a father, they have a mother, I'm the stepdad. I'm number three in that list. But, you know, when neither one of the other two is around, guess who's in the lurch? It's old Phil. As was the case last night, as I sat on the floor in the living room watching television. So I like to sit on the floor watching TV. It's actually the most comfortable position for me, is to sit my butt on the floor with my back against the couch. And I was watching something, and I heard the guys playing pool in the next room. We got a pool table. And the kids were shooting pool, the two oldest boys. And they're shooting a game of pool, and I could hear them going at it a little bit, you know, yeah, the ball's in, no it isn't, yeah it is, no it isn't, yeah it is, no it isn't. In situations like that, I stay completely out of it because I figure they're learning a skill, they're learning how to negotiate, they're learning how to resolve their problems, you know, as human beings hopefully should, without it turning violent. You know, I mean, if it's going to get nuts, then I'll step in, but these two guys are just, yeah, well, no, the way it is, and they're explaining to each other, and that's fine. Until I saw one of them being thrown to the ground, and the pool cue he was holding going into the wall. And I saw this out of the corner of my eye. I'm sitting there watching, and I saw the second oldest, and these guys are only a year apart, and they're both big guys. So they're not really going to damage each other all that heavily. And the younger one is thrown, he hits the ground, the pool cue slides out of his hand, and butt in first, blank, goes right into the wall, man, knocks a hole out of the wall. And I had told the guys, when we got the pool table, I said, okay, this is not a toy. This is a piece of fairly expensive furniture. And these are pool cues. These aren't swords. This isn't, we're not doing sword games with it. And it's not a pointer, as if you're a general in the Middle East War. It's a pool cue. You guys use it for one reason, hitting pool balls with. And when you're done with it, you stick it back up in the rack. Well, naturally, when we first got the table, the first time I saw one of the pool cues being used, it was in the hands of one of the kids, and they were running around outside with it. I saw Alex, the second oldest, running around the house with this pool cue, you know. And so I grabbed him, and I said, come on inside, pal. Give me the pool cue. Your pool game is over for the day. And I put it up. All right, cut to last night. One of them goes through the wall. So I got up, and I was mad. And I said, you know, who did that? Well, it was obvious that he had fallen, and the older guy says, well, I pushed him down, and it went, okay, you pushed him down, and the thing, okay, both of you guys, give me your computer keyboards now. This is modern discipline. You know, it ain't like you're getting a timeout, and it's not like you guys can't watch any TV. No, today it's give me your computer keyboards. I said, unlock those keyboards. I want them now. Because if you take away a guy's computer keyboard, he has no access to his computer. Which is what the punishment was going to be. Because these dudes, not only do they like to, go online, they also like to mess around with various computer games. And the younger one felt unjustly accused because it wasn't his fault. He was thrown to the ground, and the pool cue went to the table or went through the wall, and I felt bad about that until I found out that the reason why he was thrown to the ground is because he was taunting his brother and taunting him and bugging him and bugging him. And I told the guys, if you bug people that way, if you verbally assault people in life, you're going to have to expect them to be unpredictable in their reaction. Because they learned this thing that some kids learn, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And I had to disabuse them of that notion. Words can hurt you. Words can get you into trouble. And if you say the wrong word to the wrong person in life, somebody may, you know, turn around and put your front teeth down where your throat are. Your throat is. Throat was. So I said, words will hurt you. So watch what you say to people. Couch it in a socially skillful manner so that you're able to get what you want out of life and not constantly be at odds with human beings. And that sounds all well and good until you see one of them hit the floor and the pool cue go through the wall. So I took the keyboards away from these guys, and I felt pretty good doing that, even though one of them was probably a little bit more in the wrong than the other one, because, you know, the fact of the matter is that both of these guys were screwing around the way they shouldn't have been. If they wanted to wrestle, I always tell them, you guys want to wrestle, that's fine. Take the pool cue. You notice that the number one priority here for me is my pool table. Take the pool cue out of your hand and put it up. See, I don't really care about the well-being of children. Go ahead and wrestle. Put your heads through the wall as far as I'm concerned, but take that pool cue and put it back up on the rack. Well, that was a little bit of a problem with their mom. It wasn't really a big problem, and I'm not bringing it up to illustrate anything, but it's one of those things you got to deal with. She said, well, you know, the little one, he was not as in trouble. I said, I know, but it's property, and they need to understand that they damage property. They're damaging our property as well as their own. You know, these guys are kids are territorial. Man, you go into their room and you move one of their little dinosaurs or one of their little men, or you cut a fart in the closet and it lingers for longer than 5 seconds, they are the most indignant cats the world has ever seen. It's like, they're like the PLO, man. How dare you enter my homeland and do, you know, they are really whack. But, of course, they got no problem going into somebody else's room and moving around their soldiers and screwing around with their stuff. That's where most of the fights start at our house. Territory, possessions, getting into my crap, stay out of my crap. So what I'm trying to get these guys to understand is that's my crap, and it's theirs too. The house belongs to everybody. You guys put a hole in the wall, that's like me going upstairs and messing around with your computer. So I took their stinking keyboards, and I've hid them. And not even Maria knows where they are. And, you know, so I know when I get home tonight, she's going to say to me, where are the keyboards for the computers? Well, I don't want to tell you. Of course, I'm going to have to tell her. I'll tell you right now, honey, they're over the thing, you know, the closet. They're sitting up there. But, I mean, they're up there. She says, well, I think that. So then she says to me, and this is, again, I'm the stepdad. I'm number three on the list of guys that get to have a say in this. She said, it's an appropriate punishment. She was backing me up. But she said, but, you know, they need them for homework. I said, no, they don't. I mean, they can write out their homework. Oh, well, no. I mean, they have to. Are you telling me that they have to type their homework? Well, sure. Well, wait a second. Every assignment? One of them's in grade school. Well, I don't really know. Well, you know, you can tell these guys that they're going to have to type, you know, they're going to have to write out their assignment along it. Well, they also need the computer to gain internet access. And I said, what do they need that for? Because they have to research their homework. Wait a minute. Well, since when do you got to have a computer? When do you got to have internet access to do your homework? Come on, give me a break. There ain't a teacher alive out there that is telling their students, you must, and by the way, have your parents sign you up for Earthlink, because you need to have internet access. Well, there's the encyclopedia. The last time there's an encyclopedia you can pull out of the wall. It's called a book. Pull that one out of the wall, you know. But she's got a point, too. Because Nick, he's in high school. He needs to type out his stuff. So I guess he's got to have this thing, you know? So I said, well, why don't we get him a word processor or something? So Schaefer, my producer, comes up with a solution. Why don't you have them check the keyboard out with you? They can use it for their homework. Then they got to give it back to you. Then I finally came up with the idea. Well, I'll just tear the freaking, I'll tear the phone cord out of the wall so they can't get online. And the only thing they can use the computer for is the word processing. Except, of course, they have those games that they've downloaded. So I want to do what about that? The other day I heard one of them say, hey, what? Get offline. I got to do my homework. I don't know what these cats have got to go online to do their homework over. Honest to goodness, I don't, you know. And what's happened, I think, is that these guys now feel the internet is their own personal private little library that can go look stuff up on. Hey, there are libraries that have books in them. You can check one out, man. We got them at the house. Why don't you do a little bit of that kind of stuff, you know? But see, that's what I mean. I it's no good. So they're going to get their keyboards back tonight, I know, and they'll be back to doing what they're doing. And I didn't get the thrill of punishing them severely like I want to, as a good evil stepdad should. So that's some other thing, man. And if I had it to do over again, I'd do it all over again. Because I like my life. But if you were to ask me, hey, Phil, what do you think about me marrying a woman who's got four kids? I'd say, think about it, pal. You know? Well, it's working out for you, whatever, you know. It's got nothing to do with your life. Yeah, you look so happy, Phil. I think I'm going to marry a woman with four kids. If I were you, I wouldn't. But that's only if I were you. Because I saw that thing you want to marry. I'm just kidding. I saw that beast you want to marry. I would. No, I, you know. By the way, that stench ain't gone away yet. I don't know what's going on in my neighborhood, man, but there's a sewer out there, and it stinks to high heaven. Every morning from 6 a.m. to about 7 a.m., it stinks like an open sewer out there. And now I found out what's causing it. The sewage gets pumped uphill from my neighbors down the street, sits there for about 5 days until it gets really ripe, and then they flush it on back down through the sewer system. There's some kind of a pumping mechanism. In the meantime, it stinks like you've never you can't believe it. And I'm asking myself why there's dead birds in my backyard? I thought they were hitting my windows and killing themselves. It's the freaking stink that's killing them. I found another bird today, stunned, out in my back. Stunned! Not dead, stunned! There was a little green and yellow bird sitting there on the cement, and I knew it was stunned because I walked up and I went with my feet. I was stamping around it, and it didn't move. It just was like, hi. It's just staring. And then I left, and I came back. I peeked around the corner, and he'd moved about 5 centimeters to the right. So I knew he was stunned. He was alive. Then I came back 5 minutes later, and now he kind of was flapping his wings a little bit. Something stunned the hell out of that bird. It was the stink in that neighborhood. Because I came back 10 minutes later, it was gone. Flew away. Either that or he's running into the window again. I'm telling you the God's truth. Remember I told you I found a dead pigeon because it broke its neck running into the window? This thing, I think, either smacked into the window and stunned itself for about 10 minutes, or the smell in that neighborhood is killing all the birds. We got to do something about it. Hey, Mike, you know anything about sewers? All right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, you guys having won tickets. Come on out to the museum.